Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
All of these actions were in gross violation of the core principles of American foreign policy, dating back more than two centuries, and not anymore. All the way back, it dated to the Monroe Doctrines, and the Monroe Doctrine is a big deal, but we've superseded it by a lot, by a real lot. They now call it the Donroe Document, I don't know. Is Monroe Doctrine. We sort of forgot about it. It was very important, but we forgot about it. We don't forget about it anymore.
All right, I'm going to have to say it. I wish I didn't have to say it, but I am going to have to point this out.
All the way back, it dated to the Monroe Doctrines.
No, Monroe Doctrine, sir. It's a singular. It's not 2 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians. Okay?
And did you just really say 2 Corinthians?
That's what he said. Don't you remember when he was speaking? I think it was at Liberty University, and he talked about, as we all know, in 2 Corinthians. Oh, my God. Make it stop. You remember how much trouble Obama had from people because he said corpsman instead of corpsman, right? So, okay. It's not Monroe Doctrines. It's Monroe Doctrine. I will say this. I do not think that President Trump is a scholar of history. Doesn't know the Monroe Doctrine, but I think he has people around him who do. And I actually think that this fits with the Monroe Doctrine, certainly. And I don't think we should call it the Donroe Doctrine. Don Trump, Donald Trump for Donroe. Monroe is what he's getting at. That's what that is. It's not a That one wasn't a misspeak. That was a, I'm trying to be clever here and no.
It didn't work.
Okay, so what is it? I mean, right, but he kind of explains, okay, a little bit.
Under our new national security strategy, American dominance in the Western Hemisphere will never be questioned again. Won't happen.
Okay, so what is it? I think he's right. I think that American education has failed, particularly to teach people about foreign policy and foreign affairs. And, you know, in a certain way, we're just all kind of, you know, fat and happy in our own United States little bubble. And if you hear about foreign things, it's because, you know, we're involved in war there. And sometimes we're involved in war there and you still don't know where it is. Where's Serbia? I'm just being honest, right? So it's time to educate a little bit. What is the, you know, what is the Monroe Doctrine? What is the Roosevelt Corollary? If there is such a thing, what is the Trump Corollary? So the Monroe Doctrine, you know, James Monroe. So this is like 200 years ago, 1824. The idea is that the Americas are our area. We control North, Central, and South America by our power. We do not allow foreign actors, foreign nations to be involved in manipulating the outcomes in our backyard. It's our area. We are not going to control it. We're not going to colonize it. We're not going to be an empire. But we are going to make sure to provide for it to some degree. If there's already an existing colony that hasn't gone through a revolt, we're going to allow that. But you're not allowed to recolonize or expand your colonies. Europe stays in Europe, and we're going to stay here. And by the way, that was part of it, is that we would stay out of Europe. Also, if you do attempt to recolonize, we will stop you. We will consider that an attack against us. That was another one of the key elements of the Monroe Doctrine, is that, you know, if you come here, like, you know, France or Spain or something like that, you know, we're going to take that personally as an attack against us, and we're going to, I mean, basically think of you as the aggressor. So non-interference in Europe is part one. Recognizing that existing colonies at that time were allowed, we wouldn't intervene. You cannot create new colonies or recolonize places that have declared their independence, because that was kind of a wave of things that was happening in the early 1800s. And then any attempt by Europe to come in and invade or involve or anything is going to be viewed as a direct threat to us. That's the Monroe Doctrine. That was our statement that this is our space. By the way, Canada benefits from this tremendously because we protect Canada. We, you know, we're going to make sure to take care of you, too. It's not just south of us. It's the whole of the two continents. Now, the Roosevelt Corollary came in, which corollary just means an additional interpretation or an additional element. And what Roosevelt said, what Teddy Roosevelt said, was that you can not just that we're justified in holding this and threatening this, but we will actually take action. We will actually act to stop you if you're intervening in any of these countries. And so we had a very interventionist foreign policy in Central and Latin America for a long time. And frankly, for a long time, you had good conversations in the American news media and the public, and people were informed and knew where these places were, and that's just fallen off. It's one of the things I just kind of I suggest to people every once in a while is go watch like the Kennedy-Nixon debates. You have to watch the whole thing, but watch 20 minutes. And what it should do is make you feel very sad about the low quality of American public discourse and knowledge about foreign affairs. It's not that they talked about foreign affairs intelligently. They did. It's that they assumed everybody watching understood enough about foreign policy and geopolitics and, you know, geography that they didn't have to stop to explain things like, and you know where Venezuela is, by the way. You know, they and that's sad for us because they knew or at least assumed they could take that for granted in the tens of millions of people who were watching the debate. You cannot take that for granted anymore. So, for example, the Monroe Doctrine would have been something that, I mean, most Americans knew. These days, and John, you had pointed this out rightly, I think you probably ought to explain it. Well, I am, because I don't think everybody knows. And even if you do, it's good to have a refresher. Okay? So the basic idea of the Monroe Doctrine is that even though we are, you know, sovereign control of our 50 states and our territories, we have influence and an interest in Central and South America functioning properly. And so if it's not functioning properly, either because of foreign influence or because of domestic failure, that affects us because you're our neighbors on this very big street. And we are going to work to make sure that you're safe from any invaders, and we're going to work to make sure that you're safe from any domestic threats to the degree that we can. We can't do everything, but that's the concept of the Monroe Doctrine in the Americas. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, starting to see some slowdowns in that construction zone. And also, remember, Palafox Street is now officially closed as they do the Reimagine Palafox project. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Oh, and by the way, just on that project, on the new Palafox project, May 24th is the date you want to know. Okay, so 5 months and 2 weeks. That is the incentivized completion date. So if they go past that, they start to lose their incentives, I think is how it works. I forget which exact way it works, but we'll talk about it with this mayor on Wednesday. But there are subsequent projects on Romana and Intendencia and government in Zaragoza to finish those. But the goal is to get Palafox done, and then we'll close the side streets and work on those. So the whole project is designed to take, you know, full completion goes until December if everything is on track. But Palafox itself is supposed to be done end of May. Is kind of the goal. 718 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, you want a great realtor, you want somebody who's going to get the job done, get you to closing, you know, do all of that. Well, okay, for example, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty have an outstanding track record. When the market was easy, they were selling well over 200 homes a year. When the market got a little bit more challenging, it went to 175, it went to 165 last year, 2 years ago, I guess I should say now, but in 2024. But last year, over 200. I think the number was 209 was their final count. So they're up in a down market. In fact, when other people are struggling to sell homes at all, and in fact, Christina says a lot of their clients are coming from having had a realtor already who couldn't sell their home, and they're selling those homes, they're selling other homes, and they're just managing to make it work. You know, 4 homes a week on average, which is great. Why are they different? Call them and ask. Call them and ask. Talk to her. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too. By supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Who is Jesus? Some people say he was a prophet or a rabbi. Some say he was just an interesting historical figure. Really, the question, who is Jesus, is the most important question facing mankind. He wasn't just Jesus of Nazareth, but he was more than that. The Bible explains that he is Jesus the Christ. He is the anointed one, the Messiah. Jesus isn't just a prophet, but he is the prophet. He is the one that Isaiah prophesied would be born of a virgin. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Who is Jesus? The best answer is, He is God. I encourage you to rejoice in Him and give your life to Him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Oh, how's that flu, babe? Did you take DayQuil Intense Flu yet?
Nah, I got this. Okay, I don't got this.
You stay on the couch, and I'll grab the DayQuil.
Undo your flu symptoms with DayQuil Intense Flu. DayQuil Intense Flu provides powerful relief of your flu symptoms.
I'm ready for that to-do list.
Wow, you do got this.
DayQuil Intense Flu, the daytime coughing, aching, fever, under your flu medicine. Use as directed, keep out of reach of children.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
A sandwich just isn't a sandwich without the tangy zip of Miracle Whip salad dressing, the bread spread from Kraft.
Actually thinking about this the other day, bands you wish had made more albums. Jane's Addiction, way up on the list for me.
Yes, for sure.
Oh man, you know, the spinoffs and the regroupings with other people are fine, but I'll take more Jane's Addiction all the time. 7:22 on News Radio 92.3. Good morning, happy Monday. Palafox is closed, but the sidewalks are open, and there's free parking everywhere. You know, lots and lots and lots of free parking, so you can get to all your shops. There should be no problem walking to your shops. Steve is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. Steve?
Well, good morning. It looks like, of course, Maduro is on the move. He has gone to Manhattan now from Brooklyn to make his first court appearance in New York City following the capture by U.S. military forces. President Trump says the U.S. will effectively run the South American country until such time as power could be successfully transferred. Federal prosecutors are charging Maduro, his wife, and their adult son with drug trafficking. Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is set to leave office today. This is her final day in Congress. Greene announced her resignation last fall after a public break with President Trump, criticizing him on issues including health care subsidies, the Epstein files, and most recently the U.S. actions in Venezuela. First elected back in 2020, she represented the Georgia's 14th district and won re-election in 2022 and 2024 before she stepped down.
She's looking to carry on the mantle of Liz Cheney. Although her critiques of Trump are, you know, from what she thinks is from the farther right rather than from the middle. But it is kind of interesting. I wonder how much of her behavior recently has been a setup to become some kind of a commentator. I just can't imagine she being a talking head on some network and whatever. Anyway, go ahead,
I wonder,
Steve.
The same thing, because, you know, suddenly this abrupt leaving Congress and abrupt turnabout on her opinions is like, okay. And here's a final note for those of you who are following the playoffs. There's one Florida team in the NFL playoffs right now. The Jacksonville Jaguars are the 3 seed in the AFC, and they'll host the 6-seeded Buffalo next Sunday. Buffalo Bills, of course. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Miami Dolphins are missing out on the playoffs. They're looking ahead to the NFL draft, where the Dolphins will have the 11th pick and Tampa Bay will pick 15th. And, of course, today all the coaches of the losing teams are wondering, what their future is going to be.
Well, some of them aren't even wondering.
I know.
Some of them
already,
know.
Yes.
Not here. Not here anymore.
Elsewhere, maybe.
All right,
and that's
Steve,
what's happening.
Thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. Aside from Venezuela, what's new in the world? Nothing. I mean, that's the news.
That's all that was going on.
I mean, we have other stuff. Actually, I have some really interesting stuff to share with you tomorrow, not today, because, you know, we're obviously spending a lot of time on it today. But feel free to text me your either questions or opinions about what happened in Venezuela, about the future, about the possibility of us, you know, controlling the oil or access to the oil with American companies. Although there's been an American company that's been operating in Venezuela the whole time, you know, pretty significantly. Just other companies got kicked out. Well, they got their leases terminated, which, you know, there's a $10 billion judgment against Venezuela for that, which has not been paid. And, you know, does that justify this? Not exactly. But if the companies get in there and able to, you know, invest maybe 100 or 200 billion in order to recoup some of the, what, $17 trillion in reserves that Venezuela has, you know, we'll see. There's a lot of we'll see in this story. And, it's okay to acknowledge that. We have a culture that is so emphatic about being emphatic all the time. Right? You know, you always got to have your opinion. I remember in talk radio, they used to always tell me, Andrew, you go on the radio, you state your claim, and then you defend it, you defend it, you defend it. Well, I mean, what if sometimes it's a little of this and a little of that, and there's more to the story than you said, and, oh, no, I had that wrong. I mean, that's the way I do radio. If you think it's terrible, I guess maybe you have alternatives. You know, seriously. If you like that approach of somebody who's willing to see as many sides and arguments and take them as seriously as possible and will wait to opine vehemently, you know, I've been waiting. I've been mulling this over for days. You may notice, I don't know if you'd follow me on Facebook, like I haven't posted anything on Facebook. I wanted to get on the air and talk about it and talk through it. You know, sometimes you learn it by talking through it, and that's kind of what we've been doing this morning. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are back to flowing smoothly. And don't forget, Palafox Street is now officially closed, but you can have fun on the sidewalks. I'm John Pickens.
What kind of fun?
I don't know.
Whatever fun you like.
Hop, skip, and jump.
Sure,
yeah.
That's fine.
Go ahead.
Thanks so much, John. All right. Oh, hey, let's give away tickets. I feel like giving away. We got tickets to Beethoven and Blue Jeans, which is going to be this Saturday, January the 10th at the Sanger Theater. So two tickets to Pensacola Symphony Orchestra's Beethoven and Blue Jeans. Be caller number three right now, 437-1620, 437-1620. You can win. You can enjoy. It'll be fantastic. All right. I haven't done a lot of this so far today. I've been trying to just discuss it through kind of on my own and with your texts. But, you know, Chuck Schumer is the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, and I would say certainly knows more about foreign policy than Hakeem Jeffries, who was also on the Sunday shows a little bit. But, I mean, you know, whatever else you might think about Chuck Schumer, you got to acknowledge that at least he has experience and he's seen it. He's been there. He understands foreign policy in a way that, you know, certainly Hakeem Jeffries does not. So talking with George Stephanopoulos on This Week yesterday about Venezuela was, you know, kind of interesting.
I think it's a good thing that Maduro has been removed from office.
Look, Maduro's a horrible, horrible person. But you don't treat lawlessness with other lawlessness. And that's what's happened here.
Okay, so this is actually a good thing to note. Maduro being gone is good, period. The how he was removed is a separate question. And you can love that he's gone and hate how it was done, or you can love that he's gone and accept or at least like how it was done or love how it was done, which is kind of my view, but then be very concerned about any of the follow-on issues. That's where I am, okay? So, that's true. Just because you like the outcome doesn't mean you like how it was done, and you can oppose how. You can even think that how it was done was illegal. I mean, if a person takes it upon themselves to just shoot an unconvicted person because they were guilty of murder and everybody knows it, that doesn't make it not a murder, right? So you can like the outcome even if you don't like how it was done.
The American people this morning, George, are scratching their heads in wonderment and in fear of what the president has proposed. The United States will run Venezuela. We have learned through the years when America tries to do regime change and nation building in this way, the American people pay the price in both blood and in dollars.
As far as I know, nobody has proposed nation building in Venezuela. It's not even been implied. Not really. So I would agree with that concern, but the Trump administration has not said that at all.
You heard Secretary Rubio there. He says the United States has the authority to do what they're doing.
They
right
do not.
Now.
They do not.
Why not?
He couldn't even answer your question. There is no authority to go. They did not just do ships off the water. They went inside Venezuela, bombed civilian as well as military places. And it's a violation of the law to do what they did without getting the authorization of Congress.
To capture an indicted foreign national who was not the legitimate leader of his own country. What do you think about the raid on Osama bin Laden, Mr. Schumer? I'd be curious. They're not the same. There are disanalogies, but I'd be curious what you'd say about that.
Very thing that Donald Trump campaigned against over and over and over again was no more endless wars, and right now we're headed right into one. With no barriers, with no discussion, this is reckless. And the American people are just, this morning, in fear of what's going to happen here, as I said.
I think it's a fair concern, but we're not there yet. Right? And so a lot of this is premature criticism until the Trump administration says more about the plan.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. Former leader of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, along with his wife at a federal court in Manhattan this hour for their arraignment on drug and weapons charges.
Maduro's lawyers are expected to contest the legality of his arrest. They're expected to argue that he is immune from prosecution as a sovereign head of state.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers outside the courthouse. So who's in charge of the South American nation?
The message from the White House this morning and the president is very clear that the U.S. is currently in charge of Venezuela and that Delcy Rodriguez is cooperating with U.S. officials. The president made those comments on his way back to the White House last night.
White House correspondent Asha Hosni Rodriguez sworn in as interim president. An unidentified man arrested today for breaking windows at the Cincinnati home of Vice President J.D. Vance. The Secret Service says the VP and his family were not there. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 right now, 52 degrees and partly sunny. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. The reimagined Palafox project that began today is already causing some hardship for some of the downtown workers. Zachary Donaldson says his boss told him to find work elsewhere because of the shutdown.
I wouldn't be surprised if at least a few businesses were to close down altogether because they can't. You know, they can't afford to stay open during the shutdown.
He's worried about his friends and restaurants and bars along Palafox, though Milton resident Greg Penklis is looking forward to a more walkable downtown.
If they can improve it, make it better, make it more walkable, more accessible, more bike lanes, more maybe like walking things for bikes, different like tours, like Segway tours or different things like that around here to bring more people down here, that'd be the best thing they could do.
And even though Palafox is closed, the sidewalks are open to access all the businesses along Palafox. Pensacola police have identified a body that was found near a dumpster last week in the Davillas and Belmont area. That man was identified as Kenneth Dean Williams, a familiar face to those who frequent the nearby Dwarf Chicken Stand. Authorities say there were no signs of foul play. After freezing overnight, temperatures dipped to 29 degrees last Tuesday night. Friends and community members believe that it's the cold that took Dean's life. Those who knew him remember a generous spirit, always willing to help, always smiling despite his struggles.
He was such a good person. He would just pick up the garbage out, the trash bags, take the garbage out. If we need some help doing anything, he would do it.
Police have not yet released an official cause of death. A 29-year-old Bruton male pedestrian is seriously injured after being struck by a pickup truck in Santa Rosa County last night. Troopers say the accident occurred about 8:27 p.m. on Munson Highway at Indian Ford Road when the man was walking along the road edge with the flow of traffic and was struck by a black Ford F-350 pickup truck driven by a 26-year-old Baker man. The pedestrian sustained serious injuries and was flown to Sacred Heart Hospital in Pensacola for treatment. That's according to the Florida Highway Patrol. A 2-year-old Fort Worth girl riding as a passenger in that pickup truck also suffered some minor injuries. And three people are recovering after a 2-vehicle crash on Saturday in Escambia County. That happened about 12:50 p.m. on Highway 29 and Bluff Springs Road in Century. A GMC Denali and a Ford Expedition collided with the Denali coming to rest in the highway's northbound lanes. All three injured people were transported to area hospitals with non-life-threatening injuries. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We are going to be looking at some lovely weather for this Monday. Temperatures around 67 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. As you head into Tuesday, mostly cloudy skies, high near 72. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 62 degrees. Heading into Wednesday, still keeping that nice forecast around with partly sunny skies, high near 73. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with John Pickens with traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still reporting no accidents right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Let's see here. Highway 29 southbound just south of 9 Mile Road, seeing some minor delays. And don't forget, Palafox Street is closed to traffic, but you can still run along the sidewalks. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks, John. Right now, 52 degrees in Pensacola, 51 in Gulf Breeze, and 47 in Milton at 7:34. Next news is at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with your Money Now. On Wall Street, we start the first full trading week of the year. Futures are slightly higher as investors closely watch the situation in Venezuela following the U.S.'s arrest of the country's leader, Nicolas Maduro. So far, traders do not seem bothered by the uncertainty. Among stocks, some of the biggest beneficiaries thus far have been major oil companies. They're all trading higher on the possibility that they'll be able to tap into Venezuela's crude oil reserves, which are the world's largest, more than 300 billion barrels. Chevron is leading the way, gaining 6% pre-market. Meanwhile, the actual price of crude oil is up less than 1%. We've not seen a spike there yet. That would impact gas prices. Cash-strapped luxury retailer Saks is just trying to keep the lights on. The company is reportedly looking to line up a loan of as much as $1 billion as part of a bankruptcy filing that could happen in the coming weeks. Saks was founded in the 1800s but has fallen on hard times. That's your Money Now.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Sunday afternoon, the American Red Cross is offering adult and pediatric CPR classes. Upon completion, participants receive a two-year certification meeting national requirements. See redcross.org for more. Each January, the Quayside Art Gallery showcases artists who joined the gallery in the previous year. Check out the local talent all month long at the gallery on Zaragoza Street. See quaysidegallery.com for more info. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola, tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Andrew McKay, it's Pensacola Morning News. Jimmy Petronis is our congressman from Florida's Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Nothing happened over the weekend. You want to just talk to me next week?
Yeah, that's cool. Just,
all right, cool. See you.
I got a leaky toilet right now, so.
Well, good luck. Good luck with that. Okay, so obviously the only news in the universe right now is that we snatched Nicolas Maduro out of his bed with his wife in the middle of the night and then had a long conversation about oil and oil rights and who's running Venezuela and, you know, whether we're going to get involved in another land war anywhere, let alone in, you know, South America and so forth. Let's start with this. When you first heard the news, what was your first reaction?
Well, I think, you know, first reaction was, it's not like Nicolas Maduro didn't know this was coming. He was given a number of options and solutions to be cooperative to work with the United States government. Hell, we parked an aircraft carrier off the coast of his country. So if you didn't think something was going to happen, you were living under a rock.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't know what to expect, and so this was a surprise to me. But yeah, especially if you know what they've been saying about they've been negotiating with him and trying to get him to surrender all this time, that, yeah, it can't have been any real surprise to him. Okay, so let's kind of break the pieces apart. The snatch and grab, I assume as far as you're concerned, that was perfectly legal and an amazing demonstration of American military capability.
Yeah, he was indicted and they went in and there was FBI and Department of Justice officials, you know, embedded in these teams that went in. You know, our good friends in the military were just, a hell of a security transportation force to allow the arrest to take place.
Then second level is the oil, the possibility of, through threat primarily, I think at this point, of subsequent action. The Trump administration says American oil companies are going to have the ability to get back in there, recoup some of their $10 billion judgment, their losses of oil rights and so forth, and we're going to rebuild Venezuelan oil with American companies. What do you think about that?
So where the Maduro regime went and commandeered and took over those assets, there is going to be some of those assets, in my opinion, that should be returning back to their rightful owners. So, you know, again, I'm not looking at the balance sheets to know how those assets were divvied up or under ownership at what time of their existence. But, you know, yeah, look, if Trump is going to be in the process of screwing up some theft that's taken place, you know, great. Let's move forward and continue to right these injustices.
The big open question right now about the government of Venezuela, President Trump keeps saying that we're running it. Rubio has said my interpretation of Rubio's comments is that we're going to be influencing the government. And if they don't do the things that we're saying to do, then, you know, hey, we have all their alternatives. Meanwhile, we're holding the oil blockade. Meanwhile, we're going to keep taking out drug boats if they keep coming. We're going to keep all of that stuff up. Are you concerned about what sounds like a lack of a plan, or do you think the plan is scare them once real good and then hope that the next, you know, the younger kid saw what we did to the older kid kind of thing?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, there's been some dialogues with the new vice president who has now assumed the role of president or interim president, however they want to call her. I think there's going to be some, dialogues that are taking place. They'll size up how that stuff goes. But if you still have indications of business as usual taking place, yeah, I think there'll be more of an intervention of the U.S. administration in a role there. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. You know, it's obvious that you were condoning and supporting and facilitating, you know, narco-terrorism and bringing, you know, illegal drugs into the United States. And you want to continue to facilitate it, you know, enough's enough. Hopefully, you know, she sees this as an opportunity to clean up her country. But, you know, we'll see. I don't see, I think it's a little bit of a stretch where you will have this president removed and the opposition leader will be then installed in office. There'll be an effort to want to have as much of a clean, normal election as possible, but they haven't had one in, 20 years.
Right. Yeah, and I'm the same way. I find myself pretty optimistic about what could happen if the people are allowed to vote,
yeah,
and you have an election, and then you have, you know, the other party wins, and then we can kind of be a little bit even more hands-off at that point. You know, maybe we see a kind of a renaissance in Venezuela, and what it took was just, you know, for other reasons, not because we disagree with the politics, but for other reasons, taking out basically an unelected dictator who was a narco-terrorist.
Yeah, but you're talking about a population that has been beaten down with fear,
yeah,
and oppressed for, you know, a generation. So, I mean, to think that this is going to turn into a normal, you know, living, breathing country overnight, you know, they're pretty shell-shocked as it's got hit by a hurricane.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, nation hoping is not nation building, and even nation building hasn't been all that successful, unfortunately, because as we often find out, the population is going to decide. And, you know, is the population capable of self-governance, or are they going to reestablish the Taliban? I mean, you know, that's.
Yeah. That's right.
Um, in terms of the possibility prospect of American larger involvement, I am assuming, but again, I'm just, that's why I'm asking these questions. If we were actually going to be physically involved in Venezuela, which I do not think is a great idea, but if we decided to do that, at that point, you got to go to Congress. You got to go to the UN, right?
I would assume that's going to be the case. Tomorrow, we're actually supposed to be having a briefing from the president himself. So I'm sure we'll hear maybe a little bit more of a vision tomorrow in our briefing. But I mean, a lot has transpired over the last 24 hours.
Right.
And it's been interesting seeing the world community of who has come out supportive and who has come out aghast by what has taken place. So, I mean, you're forcing some true colors to start to be exposed. But mince no words, this guy was a bad dude. He was facilitating bad things. You know, I'm sure, you know, right now Cuba is really wondering, you know, where their relationship in the northern Western Hemisphere is going to be dependent on for supplies and goods. Same thing in Nicaragua.
Right.
You know, as you know, there's been a little bit of a hit of some reset buttons, and that's okay. You know what? We've had an administration for the last 4 years that has just totally allow our opponents to grow a larger foothold in the northern and western. China runs so many critical, you know, intermodal centers all over the Caribbean. And, you know, our allies in the Caribbean have continued to express concerns with this. Where's the United States? Why are we allowing China to come and be a part of this part of the world? You know, shouldn't you be asserting yourself and helping us ensure that we're not, you know, in the grips of folks that we don't think they're our friends?
Yeah, I mean, please protect us. Please remember the Monroe Doctrine. You know, please exert your power and your influence and, you know, save us from these influences. Absolutely. We'll come back to this in just a second. We're talking to Jimmy Patronis, our congressman from Florida's District 1. John Pickens has traffic on the 5s. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, but don't forget, Palafox Street is officially closed now, but you can still walk on the sidewalks. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jimmy Patronis.
Is Palafox permanently closed?
No, for 5 months. May 24th
it's just the work that's being done.
Yeah. That's right. They're resurfacing. They're putting in some ADA compliant stuff. They're putting in sewers, storm drain. A lot of renovation that will make it, you know, pretty and functional in about 5 months. So yeah. Temporary, though, definitely not. So one of the things, to me, I don't think, you know, Trump has not really come out and said this an awful lot, but you can see the pieces of it lining up when he looks at the Panama Canal, which now has largely been, you know, China's out, right? So that's a China influence reversal. You see Venezuela and you see Cuba's influence, and I think it's very likely that we'll see. I don't, you tell me, do you think Cuba's going to collapse too? Because I would think so. I'm very optimistic about what this means for Cuba too.
I was, you know, talking to some Cuban members of Congress, and I said, you know, we're probably never going to have this much of an opportunity to right the wrongs of what the Castro regime has done over the generations there. You know, you've got families that basically their entire assets were seized by the government.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to see some normalization of where those assets that it were stolen or reunited to the rightful heirs. But yeah, it will open up a can of worms, but you've got people there that have been oppressed, and some of them don't know any different because that's where they've lived their whole entire lives,
right,
under that type of dictatorship. But you know, there's something to be said for us having a more of a control and understanding of this part of the world, as Marco Rubio said yesterday, and we've just allowed that to just get away from us.
Yeah, and I, you know, I actually spent the first segment of this hour kind of explaining to people what the Monroe Doctrine is and what Trump and Rubio have said about, you know, discouraging influence, about stabilizing nations so that you can avoid mass migrations and refugees, you know, sort of the whole picture of the, you know, foreign policy and economic policy for the Americas is something that I think a lot of Americans have forgotten about. But Canada benefits from this. And it even, you know, though I have been very, very cautious about how I think about the Greenland question, you know, as a sort of, you know, influence in the Americas, our national defense, you see what Trump is thinking about Greenland, right?
Yeah. Well, so here's you know, we think we touched on it a few shows ago. Right now, everything north of Alaska is being dominated by China.
Yeah.
China's got fleets of icebreakers that are just camping out there. You know, the Obama administration said, okay, no more exploration for fossils off the Arctic coast. And so, you know, now you've got basically a private industry that was trying to explore into it that has gone away. Well, you just opened the door and put out essentially milk and cookies for China to come in and just assume that role. So now we're kind of playing catch up, getting ourselves replaced in that market. But, you know, we've still got to undo a lot of it. Look, whether you explore or not, we just need to be cognizant of our borders and protect them, especially from those that, you know, want to take advantage of the circumstances that a previous administration put us in.
Yeah, you know, one of the criticisms of this move in Venezuela has been, you know, that it's either a violation of the UN Charter or that it's a violation of the Law of Nations or that it's a precedent setter. You know, we can't look at Putin for being wrong when he went into Ukraine. We would not be able to look at China as being wrong for going into Taiwan after we've gone into Venezuela. My answer has been, so far, we haven't gone into Venezuela, but for 2.5 hours. And that was for a very specific, limited target. And, you know, if we were to go in, that would be different. But do you think this compromises any of our international credibility on rule of law type issues?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, like I said, there were other countries out there that felt the exact same way about Maduro. You know, I mean, international law, make whatever you make of it. I mean, it's you've got there as to me, sometimes just feel good language. But I mean, you've got others that have been sick and tired of what he has been doing to his people, how he has, you know, enriched himself through, you know, his criminal operations. And now you add insult to injury, just start making it this network hub, you know, capital of drug distribution. And so, I mean, you know, a lot of the chemicals and drugs, you know, are allegedly, I mean, I'm assuming they are, they're talking about how they come out of China. So we're going to go into China and start blowing up these chemical plants, you know, maybe not, but, you know, we'll go shut down the U.S. border, but the stuff's still coming. So, you know what Trump's attitude is, you know, I'm not going to go fix problems, I'm just going to prevent problems. Then let me go take out the transportation infrastructure. So he starts taking out the boats that are bringing the drugs in, and it still doesn't seem like it gets their attention. The boats continue to come. So then, you know, let's go ahead and you know, cut the head off of the, you know, the district manager in Maduro, who is, you know, in this market, you know, running the boats and keeping the trains running all the time.
No, agreed. And, you know, even I think what makes this case particularly interesting, as opposed to had it been somebody else, is that, you know, Maduro depriving the Venezuelans of the proper results of the election, making it so they can't even vote for the person they would have wanted to vote for, the criminal behavior with the gangs and the drugs, and, you know, the taking and sending of oil illegitimately to embargoed nations. It's a collage of things that make him an easy and legal target that might not be applicable to other political leaders in other countries that we might be concerned about. And what I've been saying all morning is, until we do something else or more, or propose something else or more, so far we're in good ground. We're talking about things that make me uncomfortable, like the oil, okay, or like running the country. But we haven't done that yet. And if we're not doing that, then we don't need Congress's approval. At least I don't think so. But if we did go to war or actually started to be more interventionist, then we would, right?
You're going to see more. Look. Was Congress somewhat caught off guard? You have to live under a rock. No, this was something was going to happen.
Right.
You literally could not say, hey, we're going to go take Maduro, because we can't even have a closed conference meeting in Washington, D.C. without somebody live leaking it to the press.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. We're human beings, and some of these human beings that just can't contain themselves to want to gossip and share news to the press. So, I mean, yeah, so the administration could not take a chance of talking about, you know, arresting Maduro ahead of time. You know, one thing else, Andrew, I want to point out that I think we are not praising enough is no loss of life, flawless military mission. Hell, all those men and women who pulled all this thing, they were all trained in Northwest Florida.
Yeah.
You know, and does it kind of like a stick in my eye that you got these, you know, crazy protesters in Pensacola this week that were, you know, adamant against, you know, I kind of feel like, you know what, you got your right to freedom of speech. That's all fine and well. You know, I hear you. But, you know, I'm just, on the flip side, I'm trying to make the glass half full. You know, you can protest. I know this. The best and brightest and most lethal weapons we have in the whole entire United States military come right here from Northwest Florida. And,
absolutely,
you know, it just shows you just, you know, just a bunch of, you know, human rock stars, you know.
Yeah. And by the way, you don't know this. I think you personally don't know this, but I can tell you for a fact that the, like, 11 people or whatever who were protesting in Pensacola and Palafox are, I recognize several of them as being members of the local Socialist Party, the Party for Socialism and Liberation. Yeah. And so literally it was the socialists out upset that we arrested the communists. So don't be too worried about how those people represent Northwest Florida. Jimmy Petronis.
Go ahead. Did you drink coffee with them? How do you know who they were?
Oh, they go and speak at city council and county commission meetings, so I know exactly who they are. In fact, one of them was actually wearing his shirt, to his credit. He was wearing his shirt, his red shirt, you know, for being a red.
I'm just trying to poke at you.
Well, also coffee. Jimmy Petronis, he is our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, thank you for the time, sir. As always, we'll talk to you next week. Happy New Year.
Yeah, we missed you last week. Not too much, but we did miss you. So happy New Year.
Thanks so much. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you.
That's fine.
No accidents to report to you right now. It looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. But remember, Palafox Street is now officially closed to traffic temporarily. And you can still walk along the sidewalks and enjoy it. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, The Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on The Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
That's not funny, man! That is not funny!
Good morning, 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. Andrew, we all know you're just a never Trumper. Who would you want to have as a president, Kamala? Okay, John, just a quick question.
People crack me up.
I know, right? So my answer was, would a never Trumper vote for him three times? I mean, that's weird. Weird. I literally have no idea where you get this nonsense from. That's what I said. Well, you criticize him. You should too, if he's wrong. And I've been saying we did this right. What? Like, John, what's my position been all morning?
Oh, boy. Just listen to everything.
The snatch and grab was right.
Yeah.
The threat to take over the oil, there's more to be said. A ground invasion is a bad idea and would be illegal if he doesn't have UN or congressional approval. That's anti-Trump? I mean, okay, I thought we believed in the rule of law and I believed in republicanism or whatever. Okay, Steve is in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Well, police responded overnight to Vice President J.D. Vance's home in Cincinnati. Video from the scene showed windows apparently damaged in what may have been an act of vandalism or an attempted break-in. The Secret Service has not yet commented on that incident there. Vance spent the New Year's holiday at home in the East Walnut Hills area, but returned to Washington, D.C. on Sunday before this happened at his house. Well, it looks like the streaming numbers for two Prince songs are up after appearing in the season finale of Stranger Things. Mm. According to the new Spotify data, Purple Rain saw a 243% increase, while When Doves Cry increased 200%. Two of the stars of Stranger Things are going to be here in town at BenzCon next month, and that's what's happening.
Very good. Thanks so much. Yeah, TV shows are a great promotional venue for a lot of these songs. Somebody says, I would rather see elections and then reform of the country and rebuild. Agree, totally agree. And, you know, no, that's absolutely right.
You're listening to...